call the president. President, we need a national guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the national guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm
Finesse. Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever seen or heard or experienced in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down, audio shop talk right in your ear holes and your eyeballs now right here, brought to you from the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com by yours truly, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. Josen, the Josen one. Really going down over here, how we do it on this Freedom Train Network. Hey, shout out to everybody who part of the Freedom Train Network. Nick and September, Queen Candace, Queen Shelby, Patrick Irvin, all my podcasters, all the family, Mo, PC, Dominique, everybody who part of the family. We get down and we stay down one time, how we do it. Time to talk some sports. Coronavirus still going on, fucking up everything. Yeah, I'm not having sports withdrawals, though. I got a lot of other stuff going on in my life, so I really ain't got no time to have sports withdrawals. So, but I do miss live sports. I do miss live sports. I ain't having withdrawals because it's just a whole lot going on. But it's still stuff to talk about, though. We still got storylines and all types of other things happening, people saying crazy stuff. So, you know, you got to make it happen like that, man. But remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history, specifically the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora, people who we normally wouldn't learn about. On the Shoulders of Giants researches those stories, put those stories together, and tell those stories for our learning and, I guess, entertainment purposes. And they do all that through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshouldersone.com, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, the On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at www.patreon.com/OTSOG, and the On the Shoulders of Giants face-to-face courses, educational classes, lectures, keynote sessions, anything you need from On the Shoulders of Giants, whether it's digital or face-to-face, they can give you what you need. Once again, all you got to do is visit their website at www.ontheshouldersone.com. Smart, got information for smart boards, smartphones, smart TVs, tablets, whatever you need. Once again, that website is www.ontheshouldersone.com. That way you can get the stories of the sons and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. All right, so y'all probably like, what we talking about today, Willie? Y'all already know. Got to know what we're talking about there. So give y'all a quick rundown before we go ahead and get into it. So HBCU Spotlight, that's y'all. That spotlight, that's y'all. All right, so we're talking about a young brother named Kari Lee, who's an alumnus of Bowie State, who played in XFL, but they got assigned to them Falcons. Oh, shit, so we're going to talk about homeboy Kari. HBCU News, we're going to pay homage to or give some love to a HBCU alum who is a basketball legend for the Harlem Globetrotters, Fred Curley Neal. He passed away, so we're going to show him some love. You heard me? And then we're going to get into the Cam Newton issue, I think. I think that's what we're getting. Hold on, let me look. Let me make sure. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I'm all up. So after our HBCU news, we're talking about, once again, transgender athletes playing with girls, and this time it's at the attorney general level. And so we're going to see what they got to talk about transgender athletes competing with women. And then we're getting into the 2020 Tokyo Olympics has finally been canceled, or postponed, rather. And my question, what the hell took so long? I know it took so long, the money, but we're going to dig deeper and see more information on what took them so long to get to this point to postpone the Olympics. Then we're going to talk about some of the further effects of this coronavirus on sports, especially sports people who work within the realm of sports. So the TD Garden in Boston is actually laying off employees. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at the NBA standings as they currently are, kind of make some predictions on who we think going to do what, when, where, and how. I'm going to talk about how I feel the Carolina Panthers fucked Cam Newton over. So we're going to rant and rave about that. Then we're going to get into an argument of the top five quarterbacks of all. I'm going to give you my top five quarterbacks of all time. This is inspired by Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith, I was watching Sports Center earlier, and he did his top earlier in the week, rather. And it is top five quarterbacks of all time. And I'm going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to give you my top five, and then my thoughts on my top five. Then my weekly rant going to go to everybody who I have not taken this damn coronavirus series. We got a lot of people that's giving a lot of misinformation, so some of y'all going to get it too. And a lot of people just not taking this coronavirus serious, who act like it ain't real, or just like lollygagging, pussyfooting around as if we just things just normal right now and things aren't normal. So let me throw y'all up in this rigidy, rigidy, rigidy rant. But before we get to that rant, for the HBCU spotlight that shall. All right, so young man named Kari Lee, who was alumnus of Bowie State, actually played in the XFL, and he's getting a shot with them Dirty Buds, with them Falcons. So a stint in the XFL has helped one HBCU product land an NFL job. Or an NFL job. Tight end Kari Lee, a Bowie State alumnus, has signed a one-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. Lee caught 8 passes for 91 yards and 2 touchdowns for the D.C. Defenders in the 5-week XFL season. You know, it got cut short because of that Rona, right? The Falcons are the 5th team the HBCU product has played for since coming into the league as an undrafted free agent in 2015. He's also been a member of the Houston Texans, Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, and Buffalo Bills. Lee has played in 34 NFL games, most recently in 2018 with the Buffalo Bills. So, Kari Lee ain't no stranger to that league now. Kari Lee said, I ain't no stranger to that league, that boy. I done been in that league, that boy, for a while. But I'm getting my shot. Say, PJ Walker ain't the only one getting that shot with that league, because, you know, PJ Walker of the Houston Roughnecks, that quarterback, he's, I'm going to talk more about that when we come around to Cam Newton, but he's been signed to the Carolina Panthers. So, and then, you know, the Panthers cut Cam, but anyway, it's about Kari Lee. Kari, I hit balling in the XFL. So them boys say, them Falcons say, hey, man, hey, man, won't you come on down here? Hey, shout, come on down here, shout, you know what I'm saying? Get on down with the Atlanta Falcons, shout, you know what I'm talking about? Go ahead and catch these football passes, you know what I'm talking about? Y'all get on down here, man. Got to put these parts on the board, man. You know what I'm talking about? We got to get on down here and do the thing, Kari. Kari, come on down and catch these football, Kari. We need tight end, Kari. Come on down. So Want to give a shout out and show some love, man. Y'all put y'all hands together for that boy, Kari Leaf, for getting that shot to the Atlanta Falcons, you heard me? You know what I'm talking about? That boy, Kari Leaf, finna be on that Falcons roster, baby. Going out there and doing this thing, you heard me? I hope we stay out to get a ball out and get a long stint with these boys. Do his thing. Kari Leaf in the house. One time for that boy, Kari Leaf. So remember, when you watching some Falcons games this upcoming season after all this Rona, look for Kari Leaf. I don't know what number he's going to be, but just make sure you're looking for Kari Leaf. Hey, I don't know what number he's going to be, but make sure you're looking out for Kari Leaf. Hey, and that there is that HBC. It's our HBCU Spotlight there. Shout. I remember that name, Kari Leaf. They call him Kari Leaf. Hey, hey, Kari Leaf. They call him Kari Leaf. Hey, hey. Hey, hey. Don't want to say how you're doing today. All right, so HBCU News. Curly Neal, Fred Curly Neal of the Harlem Globetrotters actually passed away. So, showing some love to the legendary Curly Neal. You heard me? Before we get into it, man, let's give a moment of silence for Curly Neal. There it is. There it is one time. So, one of the greatest ambassadors of basketball. Let me start that over. So, one of the greatest ambassadors of basketball was joined in the pickup game in the sky. Fred Curly Neal, one of the most famous Harlem Globetrotters in history, has died. 70-year-old has passed away in Houston, Texas. Neal was born May 19, 1942, in Greensboro, North Carolina, and attended Dudley High School. He competed in the CIAA as a member of the Golden Bulls. Why don't you just say the damn name of the school? The Golden Bulls. I don't know who the Golden Bulls are. I'm more of a MEAC person, the CIAA. So. But he played with the Golden Bulls in CIAA, and he would go on to spend 22 seasons with the Harlem Globetrotters from 63 through 85. So when I was one, he retired. His popularity was due not only to his entertaining skills on the court, but his personality on television. The Globetrotters retired Neal's number, making him just the fifth Globetrotter to leave with his number retired. So once again, man, if you're a youngster and you ain't never seen Curly Neal play, go to YouTube, type in Harlem Globetrotter, Curly Neal, N-E-A-L, and go check him out. He was a baller. He ate crazy handles. Y'all like Kyrie handles? Y'all like A.I. handles? Y'all like Steph Curry handles? Them boys like that, John Morant, y'all like them boys' handles? Hey, predecessor, he was the prototype. I'm telling y'all, man, go check. All y'all young boys who don't know nothing about no Curly Neal, man, go check him out, his handles. Them handles was there now. Blah, 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 blah. Them handles, man. Them handles. So make sure y'all go check out Fred Curly Neal and, you know, learn something about him if you don't know about him. If you already know about him, then you already know what it is that he had them blah, 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 blah. He was taking them ankles, taking them kneecaps, taking them hips, making people get hip replacements. Let me get that replacement. But one time, though, man, Fred Curly Neal was definitely a baller. And he's definitely going to be part of that game in the sky now. He's going to be throwing them alleys up there in that game in the sky, throwing them to Wilt Chamberlain and stuff like that. So, like I said, if you're a youngster, you don't know nothing about no Curly Neal, go learn something about some Curly Neal. And that's one thing, too. In this day and age, with all this technology, and y'all walk around with these phones that are basically computers, and you talking about you don't know something. Met my goddamn hair. But anyway, man, that's the HBCU news, man. Let's move on. So, I've been talking about this for a while. Transgender athletes, specifically transgender male to female, trans women competing in sports with biological women. I don't agree with it because of the physical advantage. And it seems to me that others don't agree along with me. Now, I don't think transgender athletes shouldn't be able to compete at all. I think transgender athletes should compete with transgender athletes. Because let's just be real, there is a physical advantage. So, U.S. Attorney General William Barr argues against transgender athletes competing as girls. This is an article from Yahoo.com, right? So let me read. So the U.S. Department of Justice is weighing in on the debate about transgender athletes competing as girls and women. It does not think they should, and that's the U.S. Department of Justice, right? Attorney General William Barr signed a formal statement of interest on Wednesday addressing a federal civil rights lawsuit in Connecticut that seeks to block transgender athletes from competing as girls in interscholastic sports, the Associated Press reports. In sports reports, sports reports. So Barr argued against the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference policy allowing athletes to compete based on their gender identity. The CIAC argued in a lawsuit filed in February that the policy complies with state law requiring students to be treated as the gender in which they identify. The organization also argues that its policy is compliant with the Title IX, the federal law requiring equal rights for girls and women in educational settings, and is frequently applied to athletics. That's not true. In this particular case, that's not true because you are not creating an equal playground, equal playing field for all women. You're only trying to create an appeasing playing field for trans women, especially when you see trans women dominating biological women. So that's not true. That's the intent of all the Title IX stuff, is to make it easy or equal for women. But in this, you're not making it equal for women. It's still men being able to get what they want. It's still men, male privilege. It's still male privilege trumping the equality of women. Let's just be real. Let's call this what it is. Let's not act like we don't really know what's going on right here. Like, trans women are biological men, and it's still, in a sense, male privilege getting what it needs to get. Male privilege being able to dominate. Male privilege being able to prevail in this. Let's stop acting like that ain't happening, right? So, Barr argued that the CIAC's policy actually deprives women and girls of the Title IX protections, right? So, and that's an interesting concept because that's what I'm saying. And so this is Barr. Under CIAC's interpretation of Title IX, however, schools may not account for the real physiological difference between men and women. The statement from Barr's DOJ reads, according to the AP, instead, schools must have certain biological males, namely those who publicly identify as female, compete against biological females. In doing so, CIAC deprives those women of the single-sex athletic competitions that are one of the marquee accomplishments of the Title IX. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't create an equal ground, especially for women. Women are losing again in this. Let's just be real. Women are losing. So Lawsuit against the CIAC was filed by three high school runners who claim that transgender athletes present unfair competition, which they do. Glastonbury High School senior Selena Soule, Canton High senior Chelsea Mitchell, and Danbury High sophomore Alana Smith argue in the suit that transgender athletes have cost them wins and championships. Smith is the daughter of former MLB pitcher Lee Smith. Mentally and physically, we know the outcome before the race even starts, Smith said in a news conference upon filing the lawsuit in February. The biological unfairness doesn't go away because of what someone believes about gender identity. All girls deserve the chance to compete on a level playing field. I mean, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that statement? I'm just saying. Terry Miller, a transgender senior at Bloomfield High School in Connecticut, responded to the lawsuit amounted to an unfair attack on her track accomplishments. Man, stop that. But let me read it. I have faced discrimination in every aspect of my life. I am no longer what I remain, and I no longer want to remain silent, Miller said. I am a girl. I am a runner. I participate in athletics just like men. My peers to excel, find community and meaning in my life. It is both unfair and painful that my victories have to be attacked by my heart and my heart. Man, stop. Stop, 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 Terry Miller, stop. Stop. So you're trying to say that you don't have a biological advantage, Terry Miller? Is that what you're saying? You're trying to say that as a biological male, you somebody who born as a male who chooses to identify as a female. You choosing to identify as a female, that's not even the playing field. There's still a biological advantage because you were born a male. If I decide to identify as a female today, that doesn't take away my biological advantage. Put me in a woman's sport and I'm a ball out against biological women. Stop acting like that's not true. Nobody's trying to take away your ability to compete. But what we are saying is you need to be competing with people who you don't have a biological advantage of. Were you competing? I want to know if Terry Miller was competing running track as a male. And if Terry Miller was competing as a male, how successful was Terry Miller as a male? Because you didn't just pick up track when you became a female. When you decided that you want to identify as a female, you didn't just pick up track. So you might have been running track for a while. So when you were running track and you identified openly as a male, what were your outcomes? And these questions have to be asked, whether you might not like it or not, but these questions have to be asked. And this is no attack on that on the trans women community, especially trans women athletes who are competing against biological women. It's not an attack. It's the truth. It's just reality. It's just raw truth. If you have a biological advantage, like the young lady said, we already know who's going to win before the race even starts because you're bigger, stronger, faster. It's just real. It's just real. Now, I don't know how long a person will have to undergo hormone therapy for the advantage to either be reduced or eliminated. I don't know that. I don't even know if the advantage can be totally eliminated. I don't know. So I'm not going to speak on that. But what I can speak on is we know good and hell well that there is a biological advantage going on when you have trans women competing in sports with biological women. I feel like it's just male privilege all over again. I do. I really feel like it's just straight up male privilege all over again. And once again, biological women have to take a back seat. I just feel like a lot of times biological women end up having to take a back seat or being looked to take a back seat to trans women just because they should be able to sympathize. That's the same shit that other groups of people tell the black community, that like right now when it's going on with this coronavirus, they want black people to sympathize with the Asian community because we should understand what's going on. Yeah. Well, hell, the Asian community didn't understand what the hell was going on with black people when we getting our ass kicked by everybody, including them. A better question is, why is the Asian community silent? A better question is, when things happen to biological women, why is the trans community silent? Especially biological black women, people are very silent. Hey, man, don't get mad at me for telling the truth. I just spit the truth. You heard? But I do believe trans women should be able to compete, but not against biological women because there is a biological advantage. Right, because you can't just say, all right, well, I want to compete as a woman and just think like the advantage is just gone. That's not how it works. That's not how biology works. It's just not. So let's think about that though. But I don't disagree with Barr. I don't disagree with the Supreme Court in supporting these rulings, supporting the way things are with the CIAC, which is the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. So I'm just saying. In supporting one group, you can't ignore another group. That's just bullshit. It's not equality. Equality is not to support one group, you have to suppress, demean, or just ignore another group. Let's just be real. So, man, y'all tell me what y'all think, man. This is an ongoing thing. As much as I can talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. I'm riding with women. Well, I'm riding with truth. Let me rephrase that. I'm riding with truth. Fuck that. Because somebody might say something crazy, and I don't fuck that. I'm riding with truth. I'm just riding with truth and equality and fairness. That's just what I'm riding with. If you got a problem with that, I don't know what to tell you. Faith, best in me, back in the phone, face, I'm messing with me, hey. So, we're going to keep talking about that, though. You heard me? We're going to keep talking about that. Hey, so, one question I do have about these Olympics. So the Olympics has finally been postponed to 2021 after we could figure out what the hell is going on with this Rona, right? And in trying to figure out what's going on with the Rona, the Olympic committee were like, man, what we going to do about the Olympics? And, well, postpone those. Now, I know they want to make money. They want to do all these other things. Yada, yada, yada. A lot of money going to be, you know, lost postponing these Olympics. I get that. But you can't have people coming from all around the goddamn world in the middle or on the back end of a coronavirus outbreak, which could possibly spark another outbreak in Japan. And then it's the Olympics. So people are going to leave that bitch and go back home. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm just saying. I just didn't think it would be that tough decision to postpone the Olympics. But I guess it was. So let me read. Never before had the Olympic Games been postponed or canceled for something other than war. But rarely has the world come to a grinding halt the way it has over the novel coronavirus, which is more specifically the COVID-19. What felt like the last major sporting event untouched by the current strain of the coronavirus, known formally as COVID-19, the 2020 Olympics served as a glimmer of hope for the entire globe. Well, that motherfucking glimmer is gone. But on Tuesday, Japan Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach agreed to postpone the Tokyo 2020 Olympics by about 1 year, which is motherfucking smart. Motherfucking right. Corona ain't looking tight. The opening ceremony had been planned for July 24th. Well, that ain't motherfucking happening this year. Not this July. Right? Despite the postponement, the Summer Olympics when they eventually happen, will still be called the Olympic and Paralympic Games, Tokyo 2020. The Olympic flame will also remain stored and displayed in Fukushima. Fukushima! Fukushima! The IOC president and the prime minister of Japan have concluded that the games must be rescheduled to a date beyond 2020, but no later than summer 2021. To safeguard the health of the athletes, everybody involved in the Olympic Games and the international community said a joint statement by the 2020 organizing committee and the IOC. According to the statement, the World Health Organization had consulted with both parties on Tuesday about what it called an accelerating pandemic. Yeah, all you got to pay attention. You got to see that, right? There are now more than 390,000 cases confirmed worldwide of this COVID-19, with more than 17,000 deaths. Nearly every country has been impacted. The decision comes less than 48 hours after the IOC said it was giving itself 4 weeks to make a decision about the Olympics. As the coronavirus continued to spread in recent weeks, Bob and members of Japan's government insisted the games could go forward. Sunday's statement was the first on the record acknowledgement that a postponement could actually happen. I don't know why the fuck they should have been did that, right? Should have been postponed the Olympics, right? Pressure from the nations and athletes alike mounted in recent days, and most recently Canada said it would not send representatives to the Olympics without a delay. Australia later joined into that decision. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee sent a survey over the weekend to more than 4,000 American Olympic hopefuls, and nearly 7 in 10 respondents said they didn't think the games would be fair if held in July. Germany and Poland have also called for the games to be delayed, despite the feeling of eventuality that so many of us have felt in the lead up of this moment. My heart breaks for you, your fellow athletes around the world, our friends at Tokyo 2020, the people of Japan, and all who were impacted by this global pandemic and the decision to postpone the Tokyo Games 2020. And that's from Sarah Hirschland of the USOPC. See, the CEO of the USOPC, United States Old People Committee. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but hey, one time for Sarah Hirschland, I guess. Sarah Hirschland knows how to party. Sarah Hirschland knows how to party. All right, we heard your concerns and we shared them. I thank you for being so forthcoming with your perspectives, and also for allowing us the time to hear your teammates across the sports. I had to yawn. If you don't like it, I don't give a fuck. So she said, I thank you for being so forthcoming with your perspectives, and for also allowing the U.S. time to hear from your teammates across all sports before making a recommendation to the IOC. Man, shut this bitch down for right now. It ain't that serious. You want people to be sick and sue you, or you want to just, man, chill out for a minute and then bring it back? I know money gonna be lost, but you'll lose even more money if you didn't postpone, right? The Olympics had never been rescheduled for something other than war. 1916, 1940, 1944, all were postponed because of war. But in 2020, it's postponed because of that Rona. Hey, got that Rona. So in addition to the impact on the athletes whose lives have now been upended by the decision, the financial impact would be staggered. Come with it now. Tell us what it is now. The organizers of the Tokyo 2020 estimated the cost could be roughly $12.6 billion. And there's so many starved and hungry people out here in this world. While other experts have put that figure close to $25 billion, the delay will also impact the billions spent by the sponsors and broadcasters. And so many people out here in this world who could benefit from that money. The IOC and Tokyo organizers said they hope this Yeah, I yawned again. I don't give a fuck. All right. So the IOC and Tokyo organizers said they hope the decision to postpone will help the world heal from the pandemic. The leaders agreed that the Olympic Games in Tokyo could stand as a beacon of hope to the world during these troubled times, and that the Olympic flame could become the light at the end of the tunnel in which the world finds itself at present. Yeah, that's not going to happen, but I get you. You're trying to make this shit sound all jazzy with your little funky-ass flame and your little Olympic flame and all that stuff there. But that the flame, though it might be cool and hot and symbolic, not going to make people feel good about this wrong. I can tell you that right now. You wrote that beautifully. It was written beautifully. But it ain't going to make people feel good about this Rona. What's going to make people feel good about this Rona? It's for one, this Rona to go away. Two, the people that they love not be affected by that Rona. So, yeah. So that's what's going on with the Olympics and that Rona, man. So the Olympics is officially postponed, and it ain't happening till 2021, no later than summer 2021. So another effect of the Rona is, in Boston, the TD Garden, home of the Bruins and the Celtics, they have to lay off hundreds of employees and shut down, right? So hundreds of ushers are out of work after operators of the TD Garden, the home of the NBA's Boston Celtics and the NHL's Boston Bruins, informed them of layoffs after 2 weeks off due to the sports world's coronavirus shutdown. Because that Rona. Soft-ass coronavirus, man. So, the Garden sent the ushers a letter with the decision on Tuesday. And this is according to the Boston Herald. A letter sent to the ushers and obtained by the Herald was titled Operational Impact of Coronavirus and said workers will not be scheduled until the conditions at our unit allows us to resume normal operations. As this situation is rapidly evolving, we will continue to update you with the anticipated date that we will resume business. We hope to provide as much notice as possible. So the note goes on to state employees may be eligible for unemployment, but they hope the changes would be short-lived. This that bullshit. But this is why they were calling for owners of these franchises to put their money up and to help these goddamn employees who help them make money. So shame and big fuck you to the owner of the Boston Celtics and the owner of the Boston Bruins. If it's not the same owner, I don't know. But fuck you because you're not looking out for your employees. Once again, shout out to Mark Cuban for being the first franchise owner to step up to the plate and talk about how he's going to use his money to help his employees in this time of this coronavirus. So shout out to Mark Cuban, right, for being the first owner. Yeah, I'm throwing shade, a whole lot of shade darts and taking shots at the owner or owners of the Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins and all the other owners who are just allowing employees to go without work when these owners are billionaires. They can help these people out for a little bit, but choosing not to, man. Some of these franchises, you got players putting up money while the owners ain't even said nothing. That should make people think twice about these owners, man. Like, these owners love to talk that bullshit about team first, but they really not. They money first, because they some bitches. So the laid off employees number in the hundreds, according to the Boston Globe, with the CDC advising the public to avoid gatherings of more than 50 people until at least mid-May. 10 people, no more than 10 people. It's tough to see the changes being reversed anytime soon. So the Bruins established a $1.5 million fund for employees after delay with the caveats. That's how you spell that word, caveat. That's how you spell caveat. Okay. So, all right. So they're saying the Bruins have established a $1.5 million fund for employees. All right, so I take that back, what I said about the Boston Bruins owner. I take that back. Now, if it's a different owner than the Celtics, then the Celtics, you stay. But if it's the same owner, then half of it stay and half of it go. You know what I'm talking about? If I admit when I'm wrong, my bad, Boston Bruins owner, my bad, I take my fuck you back. I take my fuck you back. I shouldn't have said fuck you. I should have read some more before I said that. So, my fault. It ain't fuck you. It's fuck me because I should have read, right? So, choosing to lay off hundreds of employees amid a global pandemic is sadly not too surprising from the Jacobs family, whose patriarch, Jeremy Jacobs, is worth $3.1 billion, according to Forbes. The Bruins were the last team in the NHL to commit to supporting the game day workers out of a job amid the coronavirus crisis. Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey had to publicly urge the team to do something. Oh, no! You like to get publicly urged? Hold up. Then I take some. I give you back some of my fuck you. You get back some of that fuck you then. You had to get publicly urged? Oh! You got to see, you got to say thank you. Doing it as good as your heart. You publicly urged. Come on. Come on. Side eye. You get that side eye, B. You get that side eye, B. Not the front of the eye, but the side of the eye, B. Y'all the last team to commit after being publicly urged. Shade. Shout out to Mark Cuban. The Bruins ended up establishing a $1.5 million fund to assist employees, but even Bennett made payouts contingent on the Bruins' remaining six home games being canceled rather than making the money available immediately. That means employees who would receive the money would have to wait until the NHL makes a decision on what to do for the rest of the regular season, which could take weeks or even months. A GoFundMe has also been established to support the workers, but it has only raised about $41,000 as of Tuesday. That's a lot of people out here hurting. Last I check, it's 3 million people can sign up for employment. 3.3 million people can sign up for employment. There's a lot of people out here hurting across the country with this wrong. So, again, Jacobs, whose company is haggling over $1.5 million being given out to out-of-work employees, is worth $3.1 billion. Right. Look at my face. Man, y'all about that bullshit. It's still about the rich staying rich. I don't know. I'm going to keep my fuck yous with them homies. So the other part is, what about the Celtics? The decision to lay off the workers is less attributable to the Celtics, who leased the garden rather than owning it. The arena is owned by Delaware North, which is in turn owned by the Jacobs family. So for their part, the Celtics have committed to paying all team employee game night staff through the end of the scheduled regular season, according to Mass Live. That includes staff such as game night performers and locker room attendants. Okay. All right, Celtics, I see you. So I can't say fuck you, Celtics. So it's at least a 50% fuck you on the Jacobs family and the Bruins for having to be publicly stuff. But I had to take my fuck you back from the Celtics. I see you. All right. But there's still some sad shit going on over there on the hockey side, though. You shouldn't think twice about paying your employees, especially if you're a billionaire and these employees have helped you rack in billions. Amen. Should think twice about helping your employees. If you're thinking twice about helping your employees, then you're a bitch. And you can tell them I said it. Straight up, you can tell them I said it. I don't play that shit. I'm supposed to cap in a nigga. Now, I don't really going to do that. That's just a line from a 50 Cent song. So. I don't give a fuck. Don't play that shit. I'm supposed to cap in a nigga. Man, shut the fuck up. So that's how that went. So. All right, so this Rona hit not too long ago, and the NBA had shut their season down. But before the NBA shut their season down, we had shit going on, getting close to the end of the season, I think about 20 to 25 games left. So the top 8 spots make the playoffs. And so if we're going for the, we're gonna start Eastern Conference and Western Conference, then I give my little commentary. So in the Eastern Conference, let me get that shit right. In the Eastern Conference of the NBA, we got the Orlando Magic, number 8. Their record is 24-40. The Orlando Magic's record is 30-35. The Nets is number 7. Their record is 30-34. The Sixers is 6th, 39-26. The Pacers is 5th at 39-26. The Heat is 4th at 41-24. Celtics is 3rd at 43-21. The Raptors is 2nd, which is no surprise, at 46-18. And the Bucks at 1 at 53-12. So that's the Eastern Conference. Western Conference, number 8, is the Grizzlies. They're 32-33. One game under 500. And you got the Mavs, who are in the 7th seed at 40-27. The Rockets at 6th seed, 40-24. The Thunder at the 5th seed, 40-24. Jazz at the 4th seed at 41-23. The Nuggets at the 3rd seed, 43-22. Clippers, 2nd seed, 44-20. And the Lakers, the 1st seed at 49-14. So if the playoffs would start today, the Lakers will play the Grizzlies, the Clippers will play the Mavericks, the Nuggets will play the Rockets, and the Jazz will play the Thunder. In the East, the Bucks will play the Magic, the Raptors will play the Nets, the Celtics will play the Sixers, and the Heat will play the Pacers. So the Bucks will beat the Magic. The Raptors would beat the Nets, especially the Raptors would beat the Nets without Kyrie and KD. The Celtics would beat the 76ers. 76ers don't know what the fuck they got going on over there. Then Embiid and Simmons was hurt. I think the Heat would beat the Pacers. So I think all the top seeds would win. So like I said, the Bucks would beat the Magic. The Raptors would beat the Nets. The Celtics would beat the 76ers, and the Heat would beat the Pacers, in my opinion. So I guess then the Heat would play the Bucks, and the Raptors would play the Celtics. And that, the Bucks would beat the Heat, the Raptors and Celtics. History would tell me to go with the Raptors. My head would say go with the Raptors, but my gut would say go with the Celtics. I think I would go with the Celtics, but not sleep on the Raptors. Just because Celtics got a little more firepower than the Raptors, but Siakam balling. You know, Kyle Lowry do his thing. Ibaka do his thing. Van Fleet do his thing. I think I would go with this. I'm not 100%. It'll go 7. That'll be a 7-game series. Celtics may pull it out in 7. But the Raptors may pull it out in 7. Know what I'm talking about? Because I think the Bucks will probably beat the Heat in probably 4 to 6 games. The Raptors and Celtics, that'll go 7. I want to say the Raptors will edge them out. I want to say that. But then I want to say the Celtics could edge them out, too. It can go either way. But I'm going to go with the Raptors edging them out. So let's say the Eastern Conference Finals would be the Bucks and the Raptors. Of course, the Bucks beat them in like 6 games or something like that. Beat the Raptors. So the Western Conference. So the Lakers against the Lakers would beat the Grizzlies. Grizzlies would probably get 1 game. They might get swept. Clippers would beat the Mavericks. It wouldn't be easy. Mavericks probably get a win or two. I'll take the Rockets, even though I do like the Nuggets. I don't. Well, I take the Nuggets over the Rockets because I don't trust that small ball thing that the Rockets got going on. And I take the Jazz over the Thunder, even though I wouldn't expect the Thunder to be in that fifth seed. I take the Jazz over the Thunder. But the Mavericks and the Clippers, that'll go by 6-7 games. The Grizzlies. The Mavericks and the Grizzlies. The Lakers will beat the Grizzlies like 4 or 5 games. The Clippers will beat the Mavericks. That'll be between 5 and 7 games, more so probably 7 games, because the Mavericks ain't nothing to sleep on. The Nuggets would beat the Rockets. That will go 7. That'll be a 7-game series. I don't really trust the small ball from the Rockets. And I got the Jazz over the Thunder. So let's say the Jazz playing the Lakers, that'll be a good 6 to 7, good 5 to 6 game series. The Clippers would beat the Nuggets, 5 to 6 game series. Then Lakers Clippers, that'll go 7. I would say the Lakers beat the Clippers, then the Lakers and the Bucks in the NBA Finals, with the Lakers beating the Bucks in the NBA Finals, and LeBron James leading his third team to the NBA Finals. The NBA championship. That's just how I see it in my head if it went to the playoffs today. I just gave y'all the Joseph Ward playoff scenario that I got in my head. I hope you disagree. And if you do disagree, hell, tell me what you disagree about. Let's talk. Let's talk. So, you know, NBA free agency, NFL free agency is happening. And I feel like the Carolina Panthers fucked Cam Newton over. I feel like they had a chance to do something with Cam Newton, and they chose not to put him in a compromising position. And I don't understand the chatter of people saying Cam Newton might not be a starting quarterback in the NFL. How the hell Cam Newton, if that boy from Jacksonville, Hunter Mershaw, if y'all giving him a chance to start, how the hell? Hell. Kirk Cousins ain't better than Cam Newton. Nick Foles is not better than Cam Newton. Just a lot of quarterbacks in this league who not better than Cam Newton. So I don't understand what people are saying when they're saying Cam Newton may not start. I think Washington is going to go ahead and go with whoever they got. I think they still got Alex Smith. Ron Rivera has came out and said they had no interest in Cam Newton. So Patriots still need a quarterback. And to my Brian Hoyer, yeah, right. Man, fuck out of here with Brian Hoyer. So Patriots need a quarterback. Chargers need a quarterback. I don't understand the Bears going with Nick Foles. If I was the Bears, I would have looked at Cam Newton. If I was the Bears. So 4 logical landing spots for Cam Newton. So let me read this. After Carolina Panthers hit reset on their roster in advance of the 2020 season, they first allowed longtime quarterback Cam Newton to seek trade elsewhere. They kind of forced more so Cam Newton to seek a trade elsewhere. Also, while not doing their best to make sure Cam get a good trade. You know what I'm talking about? All but promising an end to the former number one pick's 9-year career in Charlotte. Then the team's 3-year, $63 million commitment to Teddy Bridgewater in free agency was merely confirmation of what was to come. And then they also signed P.J. Walker from the XFL, right? So the team released Cam Newton on Tuesday, and Newton seemed to take a shot at the Panthers in his Instagram account on Thursday. But with just a few quarterback spots still up in the air around the league, here's where Cam Newton can end up. This according to CBS NFL. So they are saying, and I'm going to tell you what they say and I say, because now they're saying the Las Vegas Raiders first with Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. He's better than both them motherfuckers. So if you bring Cam Newton to Vegas, that means either Mariota or Carr going to be trade bait, because you got to trade one of them because the other one going to back up Cam. So to me, the Raiders wouldn't be a good spot. But let's read. They say the Raiders have committed to Derek Carr more times than we like to admit, and they're also just a week removed from adding Marcus Mariota, who could conceivably push Carr to the bench by week one. He could, but I think Carr is better than Mariota. Still, Vegas isn't hurting for salary cap space after a spending spree on defense, and if somehow they're able to find a taker for Carr, are we really sure John Gruden wouldn't convince Mike Mayock to take another swing at a high upside veteran with an arm unlike either that of Carr or Mariota on a low risk prove it deal? Newton could be a potential instant hit for the Raiders. And don't forget about the Broncos too. The Broncos could possibly be a landing spot for Cam Newton too, because they keep trash quarterbacks over there. But it depends on how much money they got and all that stuff, and what Elway decided to do, because the Denver Broncos, like I said, they keep trash at quarterbacks. So that's the number four spot according to CBS Sports, right? So the number three spot according to CBS Sports is the Los Angeles Chargers, who should be the number two spot or the number one spot. The Chargers should be either be the one or the two spot. Chargers in New England should be like one or two, and then somewhere like Oakland and then Denver. I mean, Las Vegas and then Denver, right? So the Chargers is their number three. So they say Newton isn't necessarily the ideal quarterback for Anthony Lynn, who's an adoration for Tyrod Taylor, and previously reported interest in Tom Brady suggests he'd rather have someone who can manage the offense and take care of the ball rather than the rocket arm the ball all over the field. But let's not pretend he wouldn't be intrigued by Newton's dual threat abilities. I'm going to just say this. If you down with Tyrod Taylor being your quarterback, then you should be down with Cam Newton being quarterback. I like Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod Taylor's not going to get your team to the playoffs. Tyrod Taylor is the filler quarterback till you can get somebody else that you want. Draft is coming up, so that's probably why they got Tyrod. But I just think that you should be trying to do what you can, and if you got somebody out there like a Cam Newton or even a Jameis Winston, you should be kind of considering that over Tyrod Taylor. You mean to tell me you'd rather have Tyrod Taylor than Cam Newton? You crazy. If you'd rather have Tyrod Taylor than Cam Newton, something wrong with you. Cam only didn't play well when he was injured. Let's just remember that. Cam only didn't play well when he was injured. All right? So let's not act like Cam ain't Cam out there just fucking up, not balling now. All right? Because there's a lot of Dan Orlovskis and a lot of other type of quarterbacks who, these months, I know Orlovsky don't play no more, but there's a lot of quarterbacks, white quarterbacks out here, who get the shots, who don't deserve to get shots because they're not good. And that's another thing I want to say is, I believe Cam's getting fucked over, and I believe Cam still isn't on the team because he's a black quarterback. And I believe if Cam was a white quarterback, he would have been had a chance to get on somebody's roster. That's just what I believe. I do. So the number two team that they say for Cam Newton is the Buffalo Bills. So the Washington Redskins made all the sense in the world with what Ron Rivera's connection to Newton, other links between Washington staff and Cam's old Panthers crew, not to mention Dan Snyder's penchant for purchasing veteran arms rather than staying the course with younger prospects. But then Rivera went out and chose Newton's 2019 fill-in Kyle Allen instead, landing the ex-Carolina backup via trade, Kyle Allen. That's because Ron Rivera is serious about winning, getting goddamn Kyle Allen. The Bills fill their roster spots here. As CBS Sports editor and resident Bills expert R.J. White points out, Buffalo has the cap space to carry a pricey number two. Allen's playing style all but begs for an upgrade there. And Bills leadership is very familiar with Newton, considering both coach Sean McDermott and general manager Brandon Beeney worked alongside the veteran in Carolina. And the Bills would be a good spot, too, because they have a monster defense and a pretty good running game. So the Buffalo Bills is a real good spot, because if Cam does decide to get hurt, you do have Josh Allen to be the backup. So the Bills are a good spot, and the AFC East is wide open this year, especially for the Bills. AFC East is wide open for the Bills. That's a good idea for the Bills to bring in Cam Newton, because Cam Newton would help them ensure that they win the AFC East. So the number one spot, according to CBS Sports, is the New England Patriots. And so stylistically, Brady and Newton couldn't be more different, but that's kind of what makes this appealing. If Bill Belichick is going to go into the season without number 12 on the center for the first time in two decades, who'd say he wouldn't embrace a more contemporary option, as in one still capable of damaging opponents with both his arms and legs? Newton's health is obviously a concern, but he's open up all kinds of possibilities for a spread out offense. He'd benefit from New England's ever-rotating stable of running backs, and he wouldn't preclude the Pats from still drafting a long-term successor or later turn to Jared Stidham. So the Patriots still don't have a quarterback. I tell you that, Brian Hoyer. They signed Brian Hoyer, but yeah, man, fuck out of here that Brian Hoyer stuff, man. Ain't nobody trying to hear that with no Brian Hoyer. Ain't nobody scared or serious about no Brian Hoyer with the Patriots. So all I'm gonna say is NFL teams, y'all stop with the bullshit. Get off the boo-boo. Give Cam Newton a chance. Because we all know Cam Newton is a baller, and Cam Newton is very effective when he's healthy. So stop the bullshit. Stop acting like Cam Newton just out there be trashing it up. When Cam is healthy, he's a baller. And guess what? People do get hurt. So that's the way that goes. So I was watching ESPN the other day. Stephen A. Smith did his top five quarterbacks of all time. Let me actually go to Twitter real quick so I can see if I can find it. Let's see. Let me pull up Stephen A. Smith. All right, Stephen A. Smith. He did his top five. Because this is a graphic that was posted. All right, here you go. So this is Stephen A. Smith's top five quarterbacks of all time. Steve got Tom Brady, Joe Montana, John Elway, Peyton Manning, and Aaron Rodgers. All time. That's a nice list. But we can make that list better. We can make that list better. I don't have a problem with Brady. Brady number one on my list. So similar list. Brady's number one on my list. Joe Montana's number two on my list. Then I would have Peyton Manning. This is not particular order. I know I have Peyton on the list. I know I have Drew Brees on the list. And you got Elway. You got Marino. You got Favre. Because I don't have no problem with Elway being on, but Marino deserved to be on before. Favre was live too. Aaron Rodgers don't make my top five. Because Aaron Rodgers, though he is one of the most talented, Aaron Rodgers may have the greatest arm talent of every quarterback to ever play. Stephen A. Smith made a comment that Aaron Rodgers was the greatest athlete to ever play quarterback, which is a fucking lie. Because, hell, Tyrod Taylor, a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. Lamar Jackson, a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. Michael Vick, a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. Randall Cunningham, a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. Warren Moon was a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. Like, we can name Cam Newton a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. Hell, Jalen Hurts a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. We can name quarterbacks who are better athletes than Aaron Rodgers, right? Now, when we're talking about a combination of being able to run and throw, Aaron Rodgers still isn't the best in that combination. His accuracy puts him over because he be throwing them dimes. But now, are we judging quarterbacks based off of skill sets or actual everything? Because putting it all together, because when it comes to the playoff, Aaron Rodgers is suffering from a lot of things that Peyton Manning suffered from. Getting to the playoffs and not getting it done. But Peyton Manning eventually, when he went to Denver, he was able to get over that hump. But now Aaron do have a ring. So I would say number five for me would be I like Marino, man. I ain't gonna lie, Marino got no range. That's the only thing about him. So I put Elway at five. No, I put Breeze at five. Elway at four. Manning at three. Montana at two. Brady at one. I can't put Rodgers over Breeze. I think Breeze has had a better career than Rodgers, and I think Breeze has done more for his team, getting them to the playoffs and in the playoffs, than Aaron Rodgers have with his team. And Aaron Rodgers has some squads, but Aaron Rodgers' teams, they do pretty straight, but I would take Breeze over Rodgers. That's just me. Me, I take Breeze over Rodgers. So, like I said, Breeze number five, Elway would be four, Manning would be three, Montana would be two, Brady would be one. Those would be my top five. Who are your top five? I know some of y'all motherfuckers disagree with me on somewhere, somehow. Let me know. I like disagreements. I like to agree to disagree and disagree to agree. I like to do that. So tell me what you think. Email me, joe@freedomtrainradio.com, joe@freedomtrainradio.com. Check me out on Twitter, at JoeWar84, or at FreedomTrainNet on Twitter, on Instagram, FreedomTrainNetwork, Facebook, FreedomTrainNetwork, or Joseph Ward. Let me know what you think. TikTok, The Real Joe Ward. Let me make sure that's my TikTok. Hold on. I might hear a little background noise, but I'm just trying to make sure. Well, my TikTok. Now, I'm on TikTok. Oh, shit. That's that TikTok. Yeah, so at Joe Ward, at the Joe Ward on TikTok, at T-H-E Joe Ward, at the Joe Ward on TikTok. Man, y'all make sure y'all holler at your homeboy on TikTok. I'll be on there doing some things too. But shut up. But now I also looked at a list. I pulled a Bleacher Report list that they had. This came out 2017, this is a 2017 list of what they had of top 10 quarterbacks of all time. They had Otto Graham at 10, Roger Staubach at 9, and Roger was a baller too. Roger was a, you got to consider Roger because he was a baller. Aaron Rodgers at 8, John Elway at 7, Dan Marino at 6, Brett Favre at 5. See, Marino would be like my six. He would be like my six. Brett Favre at five. Favre wouldn't be in my top five. Favre threw way too many interceptions. Favre at five. Peyton Manning at four. Johnny Unitas at three. Joe Montana at two. And Tom Brady. Man, Johnny Unitas went better than no damn Drew Brees. People going to stop disrespecting Drew Brees, man. Y'all going to stop disrespecting Drew Brees, man. Drew Brees won the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time. We were lucky enough to see a time where Breeze, Brady, Manning, and Rodgers all played at the same time. And Brady did more than winning. Brady did the winning. Not only did Brady did the winning, but Brady up there in the record books. Manning up there in the record books. Breeze up there in the record books. Rodgers working on the record books. Breeze got one Super Bowl. Rodgers got one Super Bowl. Manning got two. Brady got six. But don't be sleeping on Ben Roethlisberger, because Ben is a baller. Even though people say he was pedestrian in his first Super Bowl, because people say Tom was pedestrian in his first two or three. Eli Manning got two within these last 20 years. Eli Manning got him two over Brady. I wouldn't put Eli Manning in the top 10, 15, or 20 quarterbacks of all time. I'm just saying people got stuff, though. But, no, that's me. Like I said, Brady, Montana, Manning, Elway, and Breeze for me. That's my top five. So tell me what you think. Like I said, tell me what you think. Joe joe@freedomtrainradio.com. That's my email. The real Joe Ward on TikTok. Joe Ward 84 on Twitter. The Real Joseph Ward on Instagram. Freedom Train Network. Instagram, Freedom Train Net, Twitter, Freedom Train Network, Facebook. Holla at your homeboy, man. Let me know what you think. That's what I say. My top five quarterbacks of all time. That I would say. Breeze 5, Elway 4, Manning 3, Montana 2, Brady 1. What you think? And it's time for my weekly rant. It's going at all y'all crazy-ass people out here with this coronavirus acting like it ain't real. And all y'all people out here giving misinformation about this coronavirus. Look, y'all crazy as hell. A lot of y'all people crazy as hell, man. Y'all stop just believing stuff people saying just because you feel like they right. Research the shit. Don't just take stuff people's telling you face value, man. Y'all will end up dying out here. First of all, a lot of y'all people out here saying the coronavirus ain't real need to be slapped in the face. Coronavirus is real. People are getting sick for real. People are dying for real. For all you who are telling me that, who are saying, well, not Angus, who's telling me specifically, but who are all out here saying that coronavirus isn't real, what's your proof that coronavirus isn't real? What's your proof? Because we got proof that it is real with actual cases of people who actually got coronavirus. So what's your proof that the coronavirus ain't real? You're saying it's not real because of what? Now, I do agree that more hysteria is being, a lot of hysteria is being created around it. But then some people will say the hysteria is not even, it's not even matching the realness of the situation, because in certain cities, certain states like New York, California, a lot of places, it's going off. Like, it's really going. New York is the epicenter in the United States. It's going off in New York. The United States has more coronavirus cases than any other country in the world now. Like, we caught Wuhan and passed them. So I don't understand, like the people, the conspiracy theory angles that the coronavirus isn't real, or like the conspiracy theories that, you know, it's caused by 5G towers, people who created 5G, putting the coronavirus out, or people who saying that Donald Trump released the coronavirus to win the election again. It's like, man, y'all not even really thinking about this stuff all the way through. Now, we can sit there and argue the origin of the coronavirus all day. But I wanna make sure that we understand that it's here. The coronavirus is here. It's happening. People are affected by it. It's real. People are dying from it. For real. So we can sit and argue about the origin of it all day, but it's real. Right, but a lot of the theories that you all have based off of dumb shit. I don't get the theory that Trump created it so he can win the election again. So Donald Trump and his folk got together, created a virus in the United States, took that bitch to Wuhan, China, so it could affect the world, which would in turn affect the election in the United States, and he just automatically declared president of the United States again. Yeah, okay. All right. That's a lot. That's just a lot. Why not create the virus in America and just go to New York and release that shit? That's easy. That's more sensible. So that one I don't really get. The 5G towers, how does the 5G towers produce the virus, and does the radiation have an effect on the virus? Just how is the virus getting out from the 5G towers? How is a virus, how is any virus being spread from a 5G tower? How is that happening? Is it being sprayed out into the atmosphere, something like that? So from all the research that I've been doing, we know that it's spread through droplets. We know there's an airborne strain. It is airborne now, but mainly through the droplets, through projectiles, through the aerosol. So if somebody sneezes, somebody coughs, the droplets that can be in the air, or the sneeze, the aerosol that can last in the air up to 6 hours. The efficacy of the virus airborne would, at the 6 hour mark, be 25%, but it's still transmittable. Still transmittable. So there's a lot of misinformation that's out there about this virus. I don't get it. I don't get what's up with people. There's a lot of people out here who just not doing their research, who just going off of different memes. They're talking about different cures for the virus. What they're saying, you can spray a blow dryer in your nose and it'll kill the virus. You can put your head over a steaming pot of herbs and stuff and that can kill the virus. And I don't understand how that's going to actually kill the virus. I saw something that on Instagram. So I put in the comments, hey, because people were saying it works. You can put your head over a pot of steaming herbs, and it'll cure the virus. Now, I know my mom used to have us put our head over a pot of steaming herbs when I was younger, and it's to help open up passageways and things, to make things healthier. But I don't know about that killing no damn virus, right? And so people are saying that. So I shot a message to the little buddy. I was like, hey, man, so you have documented cases of somebody who had coronavirus, did this, then don't have coronavirus no more? Hell no, nah, they don't. Hell no, they don't. Let me see if I can find the reply that they gave me. Shout out to the singer, Shensia. I follow her on Instagram. She fine. Ooh, she fine. Shensia, shout out to her, though. So let me find my comments. All right, so it says, I wish I could say I know someone who has recovered using this technique, but unfortunately I don't. So that means you shouldn't go around telling people that that works. I figured to towel over the head with some essential oils or herbs such as mullein or eucalyptus, which helps the lungs, would help it be a little more effective, though the ingredients used in the video I'm sure have benefits as well. But you all are out here telling people that this stuff can cure. You're saying, people are saying it works, it works, it works, it works. But when somebody asks you a specific question about it working, you can't answer it. So you stop giving misinformation, but people got to stop just listening to any and everybody. Just because somebody post something on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or something and it sound right, just do your research. And then research your research. Don't just be out here just taking misinformation because it sounds good. That's crazy. You're going to get hurt. And a lot of y'all people with these masks, look, I'm not saying don't wear the mask. Wearing a mask is better than wearing nothing. But wearing the mask, would not wearing a regular surgical mask or a mask that you pick up in any clinic or a mask that you would, if it ain't no N95 mask or any mask that has a filter on it, it's not going to stop the transmission of the virus. It's not. Through your nose, through your eyes, the mucosal membrane areas, it's not going to stop the transmission of the virus. You also need, in addition to a fitted N95 mask or a fitted mask with the filter on it, you need a face shield for your eyes. And if you don't have none of that, you ain't talking about nothing. You're still susceptible of contracting the virus. Transmission is still there. That the mask ain't nothing but a speed bump in the road for that virus. Now, do what you need to do to protect yourself so you can feel safe when you're going out. But you just need to understand what's going on. But understand transmission methods. It can last on soft things like cloth and stuff, maybe up to 6 hours. It can last on hard surfaces like metal and stuff like that for 6 days. Last in the air for about 6 hours. Understand everything that comes with the COVID-19. Don't be out here lacking. Don't be out here slipping. Don't be the person who out talking about it ain't real, it ain't real, it ain't real, it ain't real. I mean, y'all can have y'all government conspiracies. I ain't getting into that. I ain't getting into conspiracies today. My rant is about people who I have trying to tell people it ain't real and giving misinformation. Because if your government conspiracy leads to misinformation, you need to shut the hell up, man. People are really being affected by this virus, and you're not making it better. So if you don't know, admit you don't know, and do your research. Don't just go watch videos. Read. Look stuff up. Read, look stuff up in addition to the videos that you watch. And if they're not giving you sources in the videos that you're watching, don't watch them people no more. If you can't tell me where you got your information from or cite your stuff in the comments and stuff, you ain't talking about nothing. You just like giving information. You just want people to follow you and listen to you. That shit make you feel good. That's all that is. Hey, man. But this is episode 8 of the Fix Sports Podcast, season 5, man. Holding it down, doing this Rona outbreak. You know, we're going to keep it going, keep it long, keep it strong all night long. You heard me? How we do when we do what we do, because we talking about sports. In the time of this coronavirus right here in America. So, oh yeah, I want to say get well soon to, first of all, my homeboy Ashanti Floyd has been confirmed, his mad violin has been confirmed that he has the coronavirus. So, man, just want to send you some love and some good vibes, man. And I pray you recover fully. You get a full recovery. I hope the coronavirus doesn't have a detrimental or a long-lasting negative effect on your body. I hope you're able to recover soon and get back in the swing of things with your family and be around your little girls again. And we're praying for you. We love you, cuz. And we just want to make sure that you're doing better, man. I know we don't talk as much as we want to, but just know the boys, man, we love you, man, and just hope that you recover. So, first of all, I'm going to give a shout-out to my homeboy, Shiny Floyd, but also to Uncle Face, man, Scarface Brad Jordan. He's confirmed to have coronavirus. Brad Jordan is like one of the main inspirations behind this podcast. The podcast is called The Fix, which is named after one of Scarface's albums because Scarface is a huge influence on me. Hip-hop is a huge influence on me. He's one of my favorite rappers. He's in my top 5 rappers of all time. So we come to find out that Scarface also has coronavirus. So I want to shout him out and send some love and good vibrations to him as well. And everybody around the world who got coronavirus, shouting y'all out, sending y'all some love and good vibrations. Just hoping you all recover and get better soon. So with that being said, man, this is the Fix Sports Podcast, episode 7, episode 8, one of them shit, I don't know, man. This corona time got me thrown all the way off. All I know is, hell, I'm bringing the thing back to you in your face like that, man. So until next time, 2 fingers in the air like a player, man. You know I just don't care. I'm up out this bitch. Gang signs. I don't know what gang I'm in, but peace out. Yeah.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a national guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
Rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Lee.